The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The word 40 is used a lot in the Bible. Anytime that you see 40, know that it means a time of trial and testing. We see it with the great flood, how the waters came down for 40 days and nights. We see it as the Israelites journeyed in the wilderness, and we see it today as Jesus spends 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. The wilderness, it is a place of danger, of chaos. It is a place where humans are not in control. There are three tests that we're told about that Jesus needed to endure. First, Satan tested Jesus at the point of his physical weakness, commanding him to turn stones into bread. Now, when Satan says, "If you are the Son of God," he's not expressing any doubt that that is who Jesus is. The phrase can be better understood as, "because you are the Son of God." The devil is asking Jesus to satisfy his extreme hunger by exercising his divine powers. Instead, Jesus waits for God's deliverance while patiently suffering and enduring hardship. He says, "One does not live on bread alone," quoting Moses from Deuteronomy chapter 8. This refers to the way that God dealt with the needs of the Israelites as they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. How God met their needs physically through manna and quail, and spiritually through God's presence and word and law. Second, the devil shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, which he says have been given to him, and that he can give them to anyone that he wants. He tells Jesus that he can have them all if he falls down and worships him. Now, Satan, of course, is a liar. He has not been given the kingdoms of the world. Instead, he has attempted to usurp God's own authority. As Messiah, Jesus will rule over all the kingdoms of the world at the end of the age. What Satan is trying to do is to provide a shortcut. Jesus does not need to suffer and die. Instead, he can have everything right now. All he has to do is acknowledge that the devil is worthy of worship. Jesus replies by quoting again from Deuteronomy, this time from chapter 6. It is written, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And third, Satan takes Jesus up to the top of the temple in Jerusalem and quotes Psalm 91, which tells us that we should trust in God. He claims that angels will rush to the rescue if Jesus throws himself off the top of the temple. Jesus does not deny the truth of the scripture being quoted, just the way that it is being used. In clear contrast, he again cites Deuteronomy, recalling how the Israelites in the wilderness complained against and tested God at Meribah and Massah, stating, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." The wilderness is where Israel failed its test of faith before God. Jesus passes the test that Israel could not. As the Israelites journeyed from Egypt to the Promised Land, it became evident fairly quickly that although they had left the physical land of Egypt behind, they took part of its spirit with them. It was through their wilderness experience that their deliverance took place. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, we are told God's purpose for that experience. "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands." Let's look back at that wilderness experience, those 40 years of wandering from Egypt to the Promised Land. We're told in Exodus chapter 16 that on the 15th day of the second month after they had left Egypt, so about 2.5 months after they've left slavery in Egypt, the whole group complains to Moses and his brother Aaron, saying, imagine this, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, where we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Yeah, it's not enough that you get us out of Egypt, but now you're trying to starve us. What happens? The Lord sends manna in the morning and quail in the evening. Now, is that the end of their complaining? No! In Exodus 17, we read that the Israelites camped at Rephidim, where there was no water for them to drink. So the people quarrel with Moses and say, "Oh, give us water to drink." Moses said, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people said again, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" And Moses cries out to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord tells Moses to go strike a rock, and water will come from it. And Moses did so and called the place Massah and Meribah, which means quarreling and testing, because the Israelites said, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Did that satisfy them? No! They reach Mount Sinai, where Moses consecrates the people to the Lord and then goes up the holy mountain to meet with God. God gives Moses the Ten Commandments and other laws with which to govern the people. Moses comes down from the mountain and tells the people the word of the Lord and all of his ordinances, and the people answer, "All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do." The Lord tells Moses to go back up the mountain, and he will receive tablets of stone with the law and commandments which God has written for the people's instruction. And Moses goes up the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, again that time of testing. He's gone for so long that we read in Genesis 32 that the people decide to construct a golden calf and sacrifice to it, stating that it is the God that brought them out of the land of Egypt. The Lord looks upon this and tells Moses, "Go down at once. Your people, not my people, your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They've been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them." The Lord threatened to destroy the people, but Moses implored God to spare them. Then Moses went down the mountain, carrying the two tablets of the covenant, handwritten by God. When he saw the golden calf and the people dancing and reveling, Moses became angry and threw down the tablets, breaking them at the foot of the mountain. He destroyed the golden calf, ground it into powder, which he mixed with water, and made the people drink it. And was that the end of their complaining? No! In the book of Numbers, we hear the people again complain, as they are on the verge of entering into the land that the Lord has promised them. They're almost there. It's right there in front of them. They send spies into the land to see what sort of a land this is. And some of those spies brought back disturbing reports of the people living there, how big and how powerful they are. And the people say, once again, would that we have died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land to fall by the sword? Our lives and our little ones will become booty. Oh, would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they ask to appoint a captain who will lead them back to Egypt, back into the land of slavery. And the Lord says to Moses, how long will this people despise me? And how long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the signs that I have done among them? I will strike them with pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. And once again, Moses interceded for the people, asking God to forgive them. The Lord again relented from his anger, but he said that none of those who tested him would see the promised land. So instead of entering the land, which is right there, the people continued to wander until all those who had disobeyed God had died. Now, here in Buffalo, we live very close to wilderness areas where there are plenty of opportunities for backpacking or hiking, places where we can get away from the civilized world for a while. We know that whenever we venture into the wilderness, we need to be prepared for the uncertainties and dangers that we might encounter. There are a number of places that list the 10 essentials that we should include whenever we go out hiking or backpacking. And here's one of those lists. The 10 essentials being those things intended to prevent and respond to emergencies and to safely spend one or more nights outdoors. So the first is navigation, a map, a compass, a GPS system, which is used to plan the route and used to help to orient you in your surroundings. The other is sun protection, sunglasses, sunscreen, a hat to protect your skin and eyes against the harsh UV rays responsible for sunburns and skin cancer. The third is insulation, a jacket, hat, gloves, rain shell, thermal underwear, because nature is unpredictable, and we need to be prepared for sudden changes in weather conditions. The next is illumination, flashlight, lantern, headlamps. Light is indispensable in the outdoors when no conventional light sources can be found. First aid supplies, a first aid kit, an emergency guide to be prepared in the event of an emergency. We need fire, matches, lighter, fire starters, because fire can be an emergency signal and a heat source for cooking and staying warm. We need a repair kit and tools, duct tape, knife, screwdriver, scissors, maybe a multi-tool, a basic repair kit to repair any equipment, and any tools specific to our trip and our activity. We need nutrition, packing an extra day's supply of food, preferably something that you don't need to cook that has good nutritional value in order to keep up your energy. You need hydration, water, and water treatment supplies, because staying hydrated is of utmost importance. Physical activity increases your risk of dehydration, which can lead to negative health consequences. And if you're outdoors and active, especially in hot weather, you should drink often and before you feel thirsty. And you need an emergency shelter, a tent, space blanket, a tarp, a bivy sack, because shelter is one of the most important elements during an emergency survival situation. It can protect you from severe weather conditions and exposure to the elements. And we know all these things, don't we? Would any of you venture into the wilderness unprepared? What happens if you venture into the wilderness unprepared? Are you going to complain to God that God didn't provide for you, or are you going to acknowledge that you're the one who failed? Now, there is another type of wilderness journey, not just in our mountains, that we must experience as we grow in our Christian lives. Times when we learn to rely upon God for our needs. Times when we learn to obey God's commands, even when our own judgment suggests that we do otherwise. It's an experience that shapes and matures us as we grow as followers of Christ. It will be a time when our faith is tested. Will we pass the test? We will not pass the test if we go into the wilderness experience unprepared. So what are the essentials for our Christian wilderness experience? Well, we need navigation. And where do we find that? We find that in the law, which shows us our sin and reveals our need for a Savior. We are unable to keep God's laws despite our best efforts. As Paul said in Romans 7, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into slavery under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." He continues, "I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do." And he added, "For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." That navigation tool points us to our need for a Savior. Illumination. Our illumination is the Word of God. As the psalmist says in Psalm 119, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Our protection from the elements. Our baptism, in which we died with Christ. Romans 6 states, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." When we encounter times of trouble, we need to remember our baptisms, when we were claimed by God as God's own beloved children. No matter what the world or the devil may tell us, through our baptism, we belong to God. Our tools, our repair kit, our first aid kit. The major tool that we need in our toolkit is the Bible, the living Word of God. In our gospel lesson, we see how Jesus used Scripture to counteract the devil, who misquoted Scripture to his own ends. In two of the three tests, the devil quoted Scripture. He knows Scripture. He knows it better than we do, and he knows it well enough to twist it and misinterpret it, changing it ever so slightly and encouraging Jesus to latch onto it, just as he does with us today. Jesus countered each of those tests with Scripture accurately quoted that put Satan in his place. We need to not only possess a Bible, but know how to use it, which means that we need to read it, to study it, to ask how it speaks to us in our life situation today. And we need to be cautious when people cherry-pick Scripture, when they take portions of Scripture out of context, twisting its meaning. In our repair kit, we also need repentance. When we acknowledge our sinfulness, ask God for forgiveness, and turn our lives back to God, confident in God's grace and mercy. We need to believe and trust in the gospel message of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Fire. Our fire is our prayer, that time that we spend talking with God. It dispels the darkness and provides us with a flame that keeps us up and keeps us burning with love for God. Prayer is a way of keeping the fire of God burning for all to see. Nutrition and hydration. Holy Communion, also known as the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper. It is the nourishment that our souls need. And even if we are not hungry or thirsty, we need to partake just as we would physical food and water, to keep up our energy and our strength. Our emergency shelter is God. As is stated in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear that the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. And those are the essentials that we need on that wilderness journey. With these essentials, which represent our faith and trust in God, we can navigate the tests in our own wilderness journey. Instead of grumbling and testing God, we can rely with confidence on God's providence and protection. When we encounter difficulties, we can call upon God for deliverance, knowing that no matter how far we venture, we cannot venture beyond the realm of God's care. Amen. Let us join it.